We'll call the meeting to order. And the time is, looks like to be 6:04. And so David, if you could go ahead and do a roll call at this point.
Okay, we will now begin with a roll call. So we'll now begin board member Alvarado. Absent. Board member Castro Curry.
Present.
Present. Board member Dandy Evans.
Here.
Here. Co-chair Nyana. Absent. Board member Galloway.
Present.
Present. Board member Hextrom.
Present.
Present. Board member James.
Present.
Present. Co-chair Johnson. Absent. Board member Jones. Absent. Board member Lee. Absent. Board member Lobos.
I'm here.
Here. Board member Kader. Absent. And board member Cicada.
Present.
Present. So we have a total of 7 board members present, which constitutes this as an official meeting of the Oversight Board.
Okay. And I don't know if any of the board members wanted to recommend any change to the order of our items as they are currently. Okay, hearing none, we'll move on. So LaShawn isn't here, so I'll give you all just a brief report. Really the report from the director is the 2 items we have here on the agenda, so we'll refrain from that. But I do wanna let you know that the city of Richmond is getting ready to host some community budget meetings. And we can email you out the flyer for that. Through our budget process, the city council and the finance department have agreed to host some community budget hearings to get some feedback on some of the items. And so there will be some virtual budget hearings that are going to be held on April 7th at 6 p.m., May 6th at 4 p.m., and June 3rd at 6 p.m. So that's April 7th at 6, May 6th at 4, and June 3rd at 6 p.m. And it'll provide an overview of the city's budget process, information about the city's finances and just financial health, and the American Rescue Plan Act that was adopted. So the city, as a consequence of the pandemic, the federal government will be setting aside some money to all the cities in the country. And the city of Richmond is prepared to receive approximately $20 million funding. And so we also want community input on where some of those dollars might be best used and directed. And the city staff is going to be available to answer any questions. So if you're interested in attending, there is an email address, that you can RSVP. And again, we will be forwarding this flyer to everyone. But the email address to RSVP for this event is community_budget@ci.richmond.ca.us. community_budget@ci.richmond.ca.us. This information is available on our webpage, the city's webpage, but as a courtesy to our board members, we'll be forwarding the flyer to you all so that you all can review it, and please share to the people near to you and the organizations and causes that you're connected with as it relates to having a broader input on budgeting here in the city and where dollars are directed. So that will kind of conclude the report that was provided to me by LaShonda, and we'll move on to our...
One last thing, Patrick.
Oh, go ahead.
One last quick announcement to the Oversight Board. We will be having a new board member join us Very excited, new youth board member, Devin Deedin, and they will be joining us at our upcoming board meeting in May. So excited to have Devin join on. And that's it, Patrick.
Okay. And so are there, we're going to now move on to public forum. Is there any comments, David?
Yes, so moving on to public forum, I'll now read a piece. Please note that the public forum is a time to address matters that are not on the agenda. All written public comments received by 3:30 p.m. today will be read to the Oversight Board, be considered a public record and put into the record and be considered before Oversight Board action. We will also share public comment information as supplemental materials following the meeting. Tonight, we have one public comment through email for public forum. I will now read the public comment while being mindful of time requirements. Following this, we'll then move to public speakers. If you're interested in public forum, you may raise your hand now, and I will share how to do that. To comment by video conference, click on the participants button at the bottom of your screen and select the raise your hand button. To comment by phone, you'll be prompted to raise your hand by pressing *9. And for agenda items under Oversight Board as a whole, you may use the raise my hand to express your interest and provide verbal public comment. An announcement will be made when it's time for a public comment. And the one public comment we have received is from Mr. Cordell Hindler, and it goes as follows. Hello, David. I have a couple of comments for the record. Number one, on the City Council agenda for Tuesday, the mayor will appoint Devin Deedin for the Oversight Board. Number two, here's an update on my projects. It is coming along exquisitely, and I will keep the group informed. Sincerely, Cordell. So that is all for written public comment, and I do not see any hands raised at this time.
I'm sorry, Board Member Hegstrom?
Oh, I just saw LaShonda, but you guys let her in already.
Oh, okay. At this point, we're going to move on to our oversight as a board as a whole and item F1, I think, Lupe. Oh, this is not Lupe. This is me and David.
Yes, so then item F1, listen to a staff status update on the request for proposals, RFP process for the fiscal year 2021-2024 grant cycle. And if you have a public comment, you may raise your hand throughout the presentation as well. So just to highlight some information, as previously shared at the March meeting, we received a total of 50 grant applications received on February 22nd, 2021 across our six priority areas as well. To go into work to date, here is a graphic that we've previously shown as well. We released the RFP on January 1st, 2021. This was after a community needs assessment process in which we did focus groups, surveys, community forums, and received input from the community and worked with community partners. Following that was the development of the strategic investment plan and the six priority areas, which I will show on this next slide. Okay, here we go. We could also see how that was designated in terms of the estimated amount of funding for each area. So as priority areas 1 through 6, in no order of importance. So at top, we can see behavioral health, mental health and wellness, going across various areas such as out of school, after school, sports and enrichment, youth violence prevention, access to basic needs, information guidance and case management. So that ultimately totals an estimated funding of 1.5 million. And to share an update since our last presentation, so of the 50 applications, we have 47 eligible applications to review and score. And department staff will be following up with all applicants to share a status update as well. These applications were compiled into six review areas. Readers were assigned one group to review and score. Each application will be read 4 to 5 times, and we'll, on the next slide, share information on what that breakdown looks like in terms of who is on the review committee. And lastly, scoring information will be public. And also to clarify, for the three applications that did not meet eligibility, it was due to missing financial documents that were required, as well as not meeting location eligibility. Okay, and I'll now go ahead and pass it over to Patrick.
Okay, thank you. So the review committee is made up of a combination of oversight board members, city staff that do not include RDCY staff. So myself, David, LaShonda, Lupe, our interns are not reviewing and or scoring applications. And in addition, none of the city staff members that agree to participate to review and score are or connected to or affiliated with any department that was eligible to apply under the grant. And those would include our community service department, our Office of Neighborhood Safety, library, et cetera. And then we had nine staff members from outside agencies that serve in similar roles in departments of children and youth from Oakland, from San Pablo, from San Francisco, and from Alameda. And so we had, I think, a really nice makeup of diversity, experience, and awareness of the populations that we serve. These individuals were broken out, as David said, into six review groups. And I will note that none of the City of Richmond staff are reviewing City of Richmond proposals. So we do have departments that were eligible to apply. And that included our community services, our library department, our Office of Neighborhood Safety, were all city departments that were eligible to apply, but not one city staff member will be reviewing a City of Richmond department application. And so David and I worked to make sure, because we want to make sure that this process is objective, not only through the in some nominal way, but actually in a literal way, so that there can be no inequity as it relates to review and scoring. And we also made sure that all of our reviewers and those of you that are scoring know this, they had to submit conflict of interest forms and make a declaration noting any conflicts with any of the applicants. And then David and myself made certain shifts around who would score or be in certain groups if there were any conflicts or possible conflicts. And so we really did our due diligence in this process, and we were capable of, we feel like, putting together some review committees where we mitigated conflicts across all ways, areas. Next slide. So the proposals were supplied to our readers or scorers on March 29th, and that represents that second icon there with the clipboard and the X's. And so folks will have about 3 weeks to review. None of the reviewers were given more than 10 applications. And so people have about 3 weeks to review no more than 10. Once the review committees complete their scoring and submit them, staff will then do an average and rank of those proposals. And then we'll have a subsequent subcommittee review meeting. So what we'll have is, once the reviewers have submitted their scores, we'll rank and average them. And then each group will have a follow-up meeting, perhaps probably an hour or a little bit more than an hour, to finalize their scores, to make sure that everything is accurate, make sure everything is correct. And so that the recommendation that each review committee makes to you represents a group effort and consensus around the organizations that they would propose and the funding amounts they would propose to you, the entire oversight board, at one of your meetings in late April. Our anticipation is that in April, we will have that subcommittee review. And then in May, you, the full oversight board, will review those recommendations and maybe have discussions. It is possible that we could have up to two meetings, likely, potentially. One to maybe just get a lay of the land of the recommendations, and then maybe a subsequent, if we needed it, meeting if it was necessary to finalize your then recommendation to the City Council. which we hope to take in May to June. And we are anticipating that the City Council will then give approval to your recommendations for funding across the various priority areas. And that then after that, staff will then move into more administrative tasks like entering into contract discussions and making sure that people have business licenses and insurance and those types of things to finalize and execute grant service agreements for the year 21-22. Next slide. So that really is just a brief walkthrough of where we are. As we said, all the reviewers have the applications and have already begun reviewing, and we're grateful for them for their time that they're taking. And so we just wanted to provide you with that update. And we're open if there are any questions that you have that maybe we didn't delve deeper into. David and myself and LaShonda as well are prepared to hear any feedback or any questions you may have about where we sit in the process.
And I'll also add to Patrick that if there's any public comment, you are welcome to raise your hand as well. We have zero written public comments for this record, but I will keep a look as to whether we have hands raised.
So I think we do have one board member. So, and then I think we also have one attendee. So board member Hegstrom, I think, see your hand.
Yeah, I was just curious. You said you had 47. Were those fairly evenly distributed among the six areas, or can you give a quick, do you have a slide or something handy to say what the, how many applications you got in each area?
I think that's a great question. David, is it possible that we could pull up maybe from a prior deck? Or
I don't believe we have an updated slide just because of those that made it through eligibility, but I do have the information on hand, which
okay.
I can share as well. So in terms of the, okay, so we have behavioral health, mental health and wellness, 10 applications. Sorry, one second. My apologies. I have the information for the 50 applications received just as a total. This is all 50. We have behavioral health, mental health, and wellness with 10. Education support and employment training support with 15. Out of school time, after school sports and enrichment with 18. Youth violence prevention with 4. Access to basic needs with 2. And information, guidance, and case management with 1. So the majority were within out of school time, after school sports enrichment, education support and employment training support, and behavioral health, mental health and wellness.
So board member Hegstrom, the majority of the applications, overwhelming the majority of applications, were in the first three priority areas. The other three priority areas, which were case management guidance, basic needs, and
violence prevention
weren't as heavily applied to, and that is something that we as staff have looked at and taken into consideration, and we're already thinking about how to approach our next grant cycle to increase applicants in that area. But I appreciate that question. Did you have a follow-up?
I did. So will each of the reviewers, because I don't think, I'm doing some reviewing, but I don't think I got 18 to review.
No.
But I'm in the group that you said has 18 applications in it.
Yes. So great question. So what happens there is we didn't want anyone to have to review more than 10 applications. So we split the larger groups into two. So if you had 18, we split it into two groups, each reviewing 9, right? So that we could recruit reviewers and scores, because it was a challenge to recruit folks to read. You have quite a bit of experience, but recruiting other individuals to review 18 applications was a challenge. And so by limiting it to no more than 10, we could actually bring in folks to score. And so we cut the larger groups, as the one you were talking about, the one at 18 and a half is split. And that also allowed us the opportunity to make sure that, again, for objectivity in scoring, making sure that no City of Richmond staff were reviewing City of Richmond applications, right? So that split allowed us to also do that, so that our process is fair, it's above board, we can feel confident about the process and there being no impropriety or appearance of impropriety. We really wanted to make sure that we again did our due diligence in making sure your first grant cycle was as equitable and fair as possible across the board.
Okay, that might be a little bit tricky when it comes to time to award the money, but let's not worry about that right now. That'll be when the time comes. I mean, basically, we got half the pot of money because we've only got half of the applications for that group.
So, first, well, just as a reminder, we do have the option to move money as we see fit, right? So because there are fewer applications in certain areas, we then might have the opportunity to move certain funds. For example, if we budgeted quite a bit of money in case management and guidance, and we have only 2 applications in that area, there may be funds that we could then move to a larger pot area as a consequence of the larger group.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. If there are there any other board members that might have questions or comments or feedback? Okay. So I know that I saw one of the attendees wanted to comment on this item. So David, I'm not sure if you have a timer or...
Yes, I do have a timer, and
Larry Best.
Let me pull up the timer right now. Hi, Larry, can you hear us okay?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, you will have 2 minutes. Feel free to begin when you're able to.
Okay. Actually, all I want to say is that I had very similar questions to board member Hegstrom, and so you answered them. So I, pulled my hand down, so... Thank you very much, and I yield the rest of my time.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Best.
Any other board members that may have questions on this item, or comments or feedback? Okay. And if not, just know that David, myself, Shonda Guadalupe are always available to respond if you'd like to email us regarding some question or comment that might come to you later or during the week or some point of clarity. We're always available to respond. So that concludes our status update. And I guess we'll move on to the next item.
All right. So second item is to continue discussing and considering opportunities for the Oversight Board participation. youth engagement and the development of the oversight board goals. So just a continuation on what we've been talking about the last few months, and just more information that we got from the survey that you all did last month. Next slide. Yeah, so as we mentioned, the goals of this item that we've had for the past few months is three here, and right, increase oversight board participation, increase youth engagement, and develop our 2021 oversight board goals. Next slide. And over the past few months and through conversations on the sides, emails, things like that, these are some of the previous suggestions that we've had from you all. Some of them we have already implemented, and some of them we're still working on developing. So the pre-meeting that we've been having for youth board members, we just had, I believe, our third one today. So that's been going well. Collaborative team framework in our meetings, oversight board retreat. Previous ones also is board member pairings, more relationship building activities. Conflict management training was a suggestion I actually saw on the survey, which we'll touch on in a sec. And a post-meeting survey as well. So these are some in addition to the results that we'll look over, I think, on the next slide, I believe. Yeah, so for the first question, which was, what kinds of training do you would all like to see? Obviously, I think the most common one that we've been hearing over and over has been public speaking, which is, and been the one that I would say that we've mentioned the most, followed by bias training, which, but on the survey, we've actually had it pretty equal. And then followed by trainings on power dynamics, social media, and city government. But as you can tell, those are the ones that we will definitely be keeping in mind over the next, to do first, I would say, in the next few months. Next slide. And as far as scheduling goes, which we had pretty similar responses with the other questions as well. The best times that you all said were worked well were during the regular oversight board meetings, such as this one, as an agenda item. So that'd be something that we could just tack on probably either towards the end or towards the beginning. The second most, I would say, popular to that one was at a special oversight board meeting. So it's still same time, same place, just a different week. And then finally, it was weekdays after five, which again, consistent with what the pattern of everything else was, weekdays usually in the evening. So we'll keep this in mind for a few follow-up survey that we'll be sending out probably in the next week or so. Next slide. And then this question was on the types of team activities you all wanted to do. Number one, obviously, is still the oversight board retreat, which again, we're going to be working on and talking a little bit more about today. Second was virtual icebreaker activity. So we hear a lot that obviously we know that it's been hard to connect with people during the pandemic. It's been a rough year. But I think you all still want to figure out a way to connect with each other and get to know each other more. And again, it's hard in a virtual space, but we definitely want to try to be able to bridge that with everyone. And then the third most, which again, equivalent, were volunteering and community events. And again, it's been hard, obviously, this past year to figure out things to do. We'll see how things change in the summertime. But even so, I think we can figure things out to work, whether it ends up being a virtual thing or a physical event. So we hear you, and then we'll definitely be working on planning some projects for that. Next slide. And similar with the training schedule, obviously, the best times that it can work for all of you are during special oversight board meetings. I would say for this one, probably you would prefer maybe a different time. Regular oversight board meetings as well, and then also weekdays after five. So definitely hear you there. So definitely make it easier for you all to do these if we can just, I would say, bundle it up with other things that we have. Next slide. And then this question was, what other types of activities, resources, and opportunities you would like to see this year? The most popular one being that you would like to see or hear from guest speakers and presenters by other departments and agencies. So that we'll definitely be excited to bring to you all. And I think, I'm sure the main thing is learning to see what other departments do, what other agencies do, that, and ways that we can collaborate with them or learn from each other. So there's that, followed by collaborations with other City of Richmond departments. And then I would say like the third place being events that our department hosts and more how-to and crash course videos. So next slide. And this one was, I would say, more of a mixed bag, and we had a great conversation with Diego earlier today. But basically, when it came to youth activities, there's a little bit of everything that our youth board members want. And obviously, some of them we've been implementing, like the dedicated time before the meetings. You know, maybe additional handouts, developing college course credits for being on the oversight board. And there was one I quite can't see on there, but I would say the other most highlighted one is collaborations with other youth groups. I know Diego mentioned that maybe collaborating or talking with our fellow Oakland youth oversight board members would be a great opportunity to talk about what it's like to review grants, you know, as a youth board member. And I thought that would be really good for us to, or at least for us to staff to start implementing for you all. So we'll keep that in mind. Next slide. So with that being said, and with all that being concluded, again, this is all tentative. We have a lot of, I'm sure you guys are all busy with the funding recommendations that we have to finish, but most likely we can start scheduling these during the summertime, probably beginning in June, with the retreat likely probably also happening in June, having the bias training scheduled for July, and then maybe having community events and volunteering probably towards the end of the summer. And again, this is very tentative. We still need to probably start developing or finding folks to come bring these presentations and trainings to y'all, but this is would be the next step. And this would be followed by staff sending a brief survey to figure out exact dates that work for you all, so we know to when exactly to time them for you all. And I think that's probably on the next slide. So, and that would also include a survey about how or what kinds of folks you would like to see come to the oversight board meetings. I can list some suggestions from our city departments and agencies that we've worked with in the past, but you're welcome to add in anyone else that you'd love to hear from as well. So I think with that, I would say this is more of an opportunity for us to discuss maybe the types of folks you would want to hear from. Again, you can do it on the survey, but we have space to talk about it now if you want. And also maybe some more details on what you would like to see in a retreat. I know with Diego earlier, we mentioned that he would like to see a short retreat, maybe would be kind of brief, like 1 to 2 hours. I don't know if there's someone might feel differently about that or what it might consist of. And that should be on the next slide.
I think I just want to add on to what I said. Whenever I think of retreat, I kind of think of like a hiking thing. Like we could like go, as you said before in the pre-meeting that you went to Tilden, like we can, like there's a lot of hikes in Tilden that might, is that we can go on, but that's all what I'm think of the moment. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it would depend too on how many of our oversight board members attend. I know if it's a more than quorum, I think we would have to make it an official meeting. And but we can figure things out. I think especially if it's just youth board members, I think that could be easily something more casual. I believe it would be less than quorum, so we all definitely keep that in mind. Any other suggestions? Feedback? Ideas?
Lupe, I just want to chime in. Good evening, everyone. Sorry I was late. But Lupe, you still need additional board members, correct, to complete the survey?
Yeah, I would say I think about half. So if we can get maybe a little bit more folks, and We can follow up individually just to get a little bit more. And it helps us plan it out more, I would say, more than anything else, to figure out to make sure that everyone has a chance to participate and gain something from this.
Yes. So please, if you've already filled it out, thank you so much. If you have not already, we just kindly ask for you to fill that out. And as Guadalupe stated, we will, individual staff members will try and reach out to some of those who have not provided any feedback yet to have a conversation. So thank you.
Right. Well, I think if there's nothing else, I'll start working on a follow-up survey and then do additional. And I'll check in with my folks to see if we can get those filled out as well.
And we did receive a public comment for this item. And also, as a notice, if there's any attendees who would like to speak, they may list a public comment by using the raise my hand feature. You may do that now. And again, that is clicking on the participants button at the bottom of your screen and select the raise your hand button, or to comment by phone, you may prompt the raise your hand feature by pressing *9. The one written comment we received is from Mr. Cordell Hindler, and it goes as follows. I would be more than happy to lend my expertise to the youth on the oversight board. I do like Diego's idea of having the retreat in person. The Brown Act specifically states that retreats of the legislative body must be open to the public. Sincerely, Cordell. And that is all for public forum. And I do not see any raised hands in attendees. I do see board member Hegstrom's hand raised. Board member Hegstrom?
Yeah, so I just wanted to comment that when we've had these with another board that I'm on, we have food. We get together in person and have food, and that's always, nice.
It is nice.
Advantage to being in person.
It is nice.
I like that. We can have food.
Mm-hmm. And LaShonda, I just want to raise this just as a point, and I guess it's a consideration of, I feel like there's an opportunity perhaps to meet in person, but be very strategic and safe about that. So it might be that we are on the campus of the Civic Center, but maybe in two spaces so that people can be socially distanced and safe, et cetera. I feel like there might be opportunities there because we do want to be mindful of the fact that we are in a pandemic, but we also recognize the comments and feedback. And so there may be opportunities to be thoughtful and creative while also maintaining some safety and due diligence around maintaining health.
Yeah, I'd like to add on to that, but like my school goes, we're on a hybrid schedule where I go to school Monday, Tuesdays, and Fridays. And we're pretty safe about it. Like, I feel like we can go back in person, but like we just, as what Mr. Seals just said, we need COVID precautions. Like just everybody, like we can have like everybody wear a mask, stay 6 feet apart. And yeah, I think it can work. Just COVID precautions, and depending on how many people, we might have to put each other in different groups.
Thank you, Diego, and thank you, Carol. If there's a way for us to do it, we definitely will look into it. You know, seeing each other in person, it's been over a year, so that would be really nice.
You're
and we will figure that out also in the context of the fact that it's a public meeting and people need to be open, be able to, participate and view the conversations that are happening. But thank you, we'll figure it out.
Okay, so I believe I do not see any public comment. That concludes item F2. Before the closing of the meeting, did you have any updates, LaShonda?
I did. I apologize for being late, but I was off today, but this was so important. I wanted to try to rush back and make it here in time. So thank you to Patrick and David and Guadalupe for as always, doing an amazing job. I just have to say that first and foremost, they really are great colleagues, and really want to thank them for all their amazing work they did to get the RFP and the grants situated and the reviewers, everything. They did a really amazing job. So thank you for all their continued hard work. I know David or Patrick, one of them on my behalf for the director's report, shared about the community budget meetings. But the city of Richmond is in the process of developing its fiscal year 21-22 budget. And so I just really want to encourage attendees listening, as well as panelists, as well as all the board members to attend. The first one is Wednesday. I'm at 6. We have another one in May, another one in June. But we also be looking out for additional meetings that we may be having around the American Rescue Plan, if those of you have heard about it. It's the relief package that the federal government has provided to community and governments to help address the impact of COVID. So we want to get some community feedback on how we could spend some ideas about how to spend the funding. So the city of Richmond over a 2-year period will receive about $20.81 million to help offset the impact of COVID that has had on the community and the city government. So just be looking out for that. We'd love for those who can't attend to attend, but please share, David, after this meeting, we'll share the flyer that's in English and in Spanish. We will have interpretation available for those who need it for each of these meetings. So please share, we really would appreciate it. And then at the next meeting, what I wanna be able to do is share some really great things that department staff are doing in collaborations that we are engaged in. And so just to highlight a few, and we'll talk more about them at the next meeting, but the city of Richmond, like I meet on a monthly basis, just so you all know, with Martine Blake, who is the director of community engagement at the school district. So we've just been meeting on a monthly basis just to talk about points of connection between the city of Richmond, Department of Children and Youth, and the school district. And then we also have periodic meetings with San Pablo, with their youth department. Also the city of Richmond, San Pablo, and the school district, with a lot of other partners, are trying to see if we can apply for a $6 million grant for the Promise Neighborhood Grant. I will share more information about that. So that's an opportunity where we're trying to once again come together to talk about how can we best serve our young people in Richmond and then also in San Pablo, just as our neighboring city. The city of Richmond, San Pablo, and the school district again are coming together to talk about expanding Wi-Fi. And so our city IT department is taking the lead from our side, and it's all the same thing for city of San Pablo. But we are, the school district has some funds available, and they are wanting to, because what we saw happen because of COVID and the need for our young people to have access, and teachers and parents to have access to Wi-Fi, broadband, internet, computers, really are trying to do some better work around expanding Wi-Fi. So the Department of Children and Youth is at the table on that one. Also, staff is a part of the Richmond Funders meeting. So a bunch of foundations get together and talk about how they can better support Richmond and funding opportunities in Richmond. And so we are, as a funder, at the table, which is really great. So we can make sure that we're sharing information about how wonderful and great Richmond is, and trying to get additional funds, you know, and talking about that and how to support all the great organizations and work that's being done in Richmond. And then finally, Richmond Rapid Response Fund. So many of you may have heard about it, but at the onset of COVID, the city of Richmond, Department of Youth, Children and Youth staff, mayor's office staff, as well as city manager's office staff got together with RISE and BBK, Building Blocks for Kids, Richmond Promise, Ed Fund West. And we also have the rent program that's involved in that. But we get together and we're really created Richmond Rapid Response Fund and we've raised over $1 million so far, which is really great that has went to help Richmond residents in terms of direct disbursements and rent assistance. So I just wanted to let you know that your staff, in addition to the work that we're doing around the grants, we're doing other work also just to support the community and our young people. So I just wanted to make sure you were aware of that, but we will be providing more information to you at the next meeting. That is it for me. Thank you for letting me have a little time at the end. Oh, sorry. Don't forget, people can get COVID shot vaccines. COVID shots. A vaccine.
Yeah, I just got my first one, so.
Congratulations. Yeah. Yep, 16 and up. Thank you. Can get your vaccine. It's open to all, and we have a wonderful location right there at the Richmond Auditorium. So I just wanted to make sure people were aware of that.
Okay, and with that, unless there's any additional comments, we'd like to thank everyone for joining us for our board meeting tonight. And we would like to adjourn this meeting at 6:50. So thank you again for joining our board meeting, to both all our panelists, board members, and attendees.